right, everybody. So today we have back on the podcast Brian Borstein and Aaron Straker. How are we doing, guys?
Doing great, man. Glad to be here bright and early, as usual. Good to chat with you. Living the dream.
So we got, let's see, 6 a.m. for you, Brian,
Yep.
and 9 p.m. for you, Aaron. So making it work. Cool. So we have a few things I want to chat about today. I wrote some other things down, but the main reason we were starting this was because Aaron, well, actually it was Brian who mentioned the post, and then I saw your post, Aaron, about going to the dark side, the I guess starting TRT and then maybe eventually sports TRT. You want to tell us about decisions that led to that?
So I've known that this was coming for at least 2 years now. And I guess let me back up a little bit and say, in this one, I feel like is important. I was never someone who like had the moral ties to being natty. I know there's like people who are like they're very, big on that. For me, it was like I never really knew a lot. The people that I knew were on, I thought were like, hope I don't offend anyone, like kind of dumb, and I didn't trust the things that they said. So I feel like I just never had a good opportunity. And then with just being a coach in the space with a predominant amount of aging males as clients, I would say 20% of my clients come to me on TRT or HRT. And the baseline quality of like the testosterone clinics in the US is not very good. So I had to learn a lot just to help my clients. So it's been like for 3 years, I've been learning about it in kind of bits and pieces. And then I kind of knew it was like, and this is a little bit more my personality. I like to formulate my own opinions. I was that kid in like 7th grade when I'm sure you guys are, similar age when we used to have that like DARE program for drugs and stuff. And they're like, drugs are the devil, like never touch drugs. Like I'm in the class thinking like, I don't know, man, lots of adults are doing drugs. Like there's gotta be a reason why, everyone's doing drugs. If they're just saying like, don't, then why are these grown, people doing drugs? So like, I've always just kind of had that personality trait is like, I like to formulate my own opinions. And then about a year ago, a year and a half at this point, I decided I'm going to freeze some sperm and those sorts of things just to kind of cover my ass. And I wanted to give like one final year for to find like my quote unquote like natural limit, and I wanted to put like everything into it. I've always been like a 85 like 90% kind of effort person, but I wanted to see like if I gave it an entire year of everything, right? Meal plan, crazy training, like I prioritized it above almost everything besides work. What could I accomplish? And then that was the when I reached out to Jackson, who's my coach, like that's what I teed up. This is what I want to do. Then I want to do this. And then I'm going on TRT. So those were my kind of thoughts, which led me to here.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to ask about, if you had any future like possibility of wanting kids, if you had thought about that. So with you living in Bali, one, what is the process, I guess, for like with freezing sperm? Was it, is it easy to do over there? And then two, as far as TRT clinics.
Yeah, so I froze sperm back in the States in October of 2022. So like when I say like I knew this was coming, like I knew this was coming. Like we're
That was
it's
probably right when we met, I think. I think if I remember.
2 months after that, literally is when I did that. And then here it's kind of like this gray area. There are TRT clinics, but they're very much so like overpriced, aimed at foreigners. You go in and you like they want to give you the injection every like 10 days or 14 days or whatever. The prices are very, very high. So like those are the clinics that are offered, but also you can just buy testosterone over the counter at the pharmacy. So it's very like it's just not really a thing here yet. So there's that.
Okay, so you would just buy it over the counter at a pharmacy then. And starting dose.
150 milligrams per week.
So and just once per week.
I am injecting 3 times per week. And the reason I did that, one, As a learning a new skill, the more frequent you learn it, you get better at it than doing it like less frequently, right? So like I've never injected anything before. So if I just do it like once, it's kind of like you take one Spanish class like once a month, like you're going to forget everything by the time the next month comes. So I was like, I don't want to get my ass kicked doing this like once per week. So my thought process was, one, I need to learn this skill anyway. The more frequent I do it, by doing it more frequent injections, I can just inject less total volume of it, which is probably going to be better from a comfort standpoint. And then you get more stable levels the more frequent injections.
Yeah, I think the stable levels it is probably the real reason to do it. I'm paying for one of my employees to get certified and given injections like anesthetic, and it's like, I mean, there's quite a bit that goes into it, which, we're dealing with, making sure you're not hitting nerves and bigger structures, obviously. But I think it's probably not really going to be a concern for you, as far as, like, I assume you're just going to be doing glute or quad injections if you've thought about it. So, Brian, I know we've talked before and how both of us at this point, but especially you, really don't have any interest when you hear podcasts about PEDs and you just kind of like, glance over it. So, I'm assuming you knew this was kind of coming, but I guess you're more interested from an outsider perspective.
I knew it was coming. He had alluded to it on our podcast and some of our discussions, I would say, what, Aaron, like a year ago, maybe. And then we had a podcast episode maybe a month ago. Was it the quads training episode that we did?
I think it was the episode where we recapped my diet.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was his best physique ever episode. And on that episode, we had a kind of what's next for Aaron piece at the end of the episode. And that's when he dropped that he is in fact going on TRT, that it's actually happening like that week. And then the conversation kind of progressed from there into what could potentially come after TRT. And so I was never surprised by the TRT piece. He like I said, he'd been alluding to that for a while. His levels had never been extremely low. Like I would say when we would go over blood work on our podcast, they were always in the high 400s to mid 500s for total. His free was low though, because I had much lower total than him, but our free was almost always the same, which was kind of in the lower end of normal range, like almost in the below normal range. And mine was in accordance with my total, whereas his was significantly lower than his total. So none of that really surprised me. I think I was a bit surprised by the notion of it potentially going beyond TRT, because that hadn't been something we discussed before. So that was an interesting kind of drop at the end of the podcast, and created, some additional further thoughts on my end, and something that I'm interested in discussing with him further on the podcast as it kind of begins to progress and comes to fruition. But ultimately, I kind of view this, and Aaron, you can correct me if this is wrong, but I almost kind of view this as like the great social experiment of life, in that you surround yourself with people that are a certain way, and you see them functioning as normal humans and being smart and being productive and being successful and all of these things. And it sort of normalizes that to you in a way that you just can't have that same expectation of normalcy if you're looking at it from the outside in, maybe.
100%. Yeah, like it, as you gain more experiences as an individual, in life, what are some maybe preconceived notions around things that you previously held, you get different perspectives on, is a really, really good way to put it.
So have you already started?
Yes, I am almost 3 weeks in.
Oh, okay. How are you
Yeah.
feeling?
So the biggest, and I made sure to get a lot of my thoughts down, like the biggest noticeable differences have all been like gym related things, or physique training sort of related things. I would say maybe like a maybe like a five, like an 8 maybe to 10% kind of bump in like general mood, outlook on life, like well-being being a decent term there. Where I notice it most is I get up at 5:30 every day, and before it would be like, okay, it's like dark outside. I really don't like getting up at 5:30 sort of thing. But now it's like I'm awake a couple minutes before the alarm, like waiting to get the day started. I'm like excited to come in here, like make my coffee, sit down and work. Whereas like before, it would be like a, like for example, tomorrow's Monday. Mondays and Tuesdays are my busiest days with clients and stuff, where I'd be like, I would get a little bit of the Sunday scaries, like fuck, I got like 15 check-ins to do tomorrow. But now it's just like I'm ready for it and I'm like excited about it. So that's one where I've noticed. And I've also noticed I'm not getting like overwhelmed as easily. So a lot of business stuff going on, a lot of new developments, kind of like, you know, Dave, you and I were briefly talking about like opening a gym this year. We have a burgeoning, you know, nutrition business as well. And I could feel like the stress response of like the hair kind of standing up, you know, that I'm not really getting anymore. But that could also be like I was dieting for a long time. Those were other things where your, you know, capacity and adaptability to stress starts to fade pretty hard at end of diets. But those would be the kind of quality of life-esque things, or a little bit of drive or motivation. But the immediate things were gym performance that I noticed.
And I mean, you posted some pictures, basically your before pictures, right? This is after you had spent like a year really just trying to get everything dialed in. What were your stats before starting?
35 years old, 5'11". The morning of those pictures, I was 191.2, 0.3, something like that. Those pictures are at night, so after a full day of eating, I would probably be about 194, 195 during the time of those photos.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, it's funny that we talked before about how we met up, I guess. So yeah, that was fall of 2022. And
Correct.
then, right? Yeah. And then, spoiler alert, Brian and I are going to be meeting up in a couple months. So that'll be pretty dope. And at the time, Aaron, you and I were identical on strength, right? On like every movement we did, identical. And I think that is not going to be the case if we work out again in the future. So, I'm glad I got to meet up with you while you were natty and I didn't get too dwarfed.
Aaron, quick question for you that I just thought of. You track, like, I know you track blood pressure. That's something I've seen you doing before. Do you track resting heart rate and HRV type stuff too on a wearable?
No, resting heart rate, I stopped HRV. I stopped. If I'm being really honest, like I'm very growing against the wearable sort of thing. It's just beginning to start of annoy me. I do like tracking it for like my cardio sort of thing, so I know what my heart rate's at. But other than that, I don't find the metrics overly helpful for myself.
Have you noticed any changes in the thing that you do track, the blood pressure or the heart rate during cardio since going on TRT?
There was the heart rate, or sorry, blood pressure. No, blood pressure hasn't changed at all. I think I'm probably still quite early for that. There was a training session where I'm trying to think if it was legs or not. I could feel like, why am I so gassed from like this one set, you know, that typically, I think it was like leg. It was legs. It was leg extensions, and I mean, my heart rate was like slamming after them. And I'm like, dude, it's like literally the first exercise of the day. We did like three sets of leg extensions, and I was like, holy shit, why is my heart like this? And then one of the training partners, like that I'm with, like put his hand on my back, and he's like, it's just the gear. And I was like, holy shit. And like, who knows if that's actually the case or not? I think on that day, I did also forget. I can't handle pre-workout on leg days. I can take it on like upper body days, but I just can't handle it on leg days. And I think I forgot that and took it on that day as well. So,
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, interesting. So, I think in your post, you said the plan is to do that dose for, was there a certain period of time before you consider more?
In full transparency, I told my coach Jackson that by January, or sorry, not January, by March 1st, I will give him a yes or no on whether I will compete in like men's physique or not. If I don't, the plan is just to be like that was the whole original plan, was like, just be on something that I can just literally stay on, that I can get a prescription for when I come back to the United States, that sort of thing, and just be on. Right now, I don't really feel a need to escalate or anything like that. I know, like, I've had numerous clients that are on 200 milligram per prescriptions, potentially titrate up and see how I feel there. But right now, I don't necessarily feel a need to or want to titrate things too quickly, because I've read that that's how your body needs time to adapt. And instead of just messing with things, you just ride it out for a little bit. I want to get labs at this level and that sort of thing too. But that's my kind of current plan. If I end up, going down the competing route, I'll obviously have to escalate to some degree. And that I'm just, not too well versed in at this point.
And this is Cypionate you're on?
Enanthate.
Enanthate. Okay, interesting. So do you have expectations? Because we've talked before about, you get some guys who, whether they are open about it or not, they'll say how TRT added 20 pounds of muscle. And my thought is the only way TRT, like legitimate TRT, is adding 20 pounds of muscle is if somebody had blasted gear, put on, 40 pounds of muscle, maybe 30 pounds, some huge amount of muscle, and then they backed off the TRT. That seems to really allow these guys to hold an incredible amount of muscle. I personally haven't seen anybody go on what I would consider a legitimate TRT, which is like, I would say 80 to 120 is probably true TRT in most cases, gain anywhere close to 20 pounds of muscle. Now, 150, you're kind of getting, I mean, you're probably going to be above normal right around there at that level. Do you have expectations for how much you're going to gain or hope to gain?
So hope, I wouldn't say I have anything there. I'm very much in the riding the rocket phase, right? Put it that way. In the let me check dates here so I can be really accurate. I started on January 16th, right? So it's now February 11th. So I'm like 24 days in or something like that. I am up over 10 pounds.
Okay.
Everything else remaining the same. Food's the same, everything. Well, I got one food increase because hunger really ramped up, but everything else remaining the same, and my weight has just been climbing. And
And you go.
I'll share pictures with you guys. There has been, like, when I started, I was shredded, shredded. I would say potentially under 7% body fat. Definitely under 8, because the last time I was quite lean, which is when my last big diet at the end of Utah, or when I was living in Utah at the end of 2021, I got two DEXA scans done, and I had one at like 8.6 and another one at 8.2. I was significantly leaner this time than that time. So I started quite lean, but like checking photos, like they look pretty damn similar, right? I would say like the depth of the distance between the abs is not as deep as it was. So there's a little bit of body fat added, but I mean, I'm up to the, as of today, like literally 11 pounds from when I started.
Yeah, and like I would expect you, I think I said this in the group chat, Brian, that I expect Aaron to have a pretty strong response. I just think genetically, like people who have good responses to lifting tend to have good responses to gear. Sometimes you get the person who like barely looks like they lift and then they have some crazy response and vice versa. But for the most part, I think you can kind of get an idea. But then of course also, your estrogen is going to be going up. Are you on any aromatase inhibitor?
No, from the thing that the way that I plan to do it with, I really should not need one. Unless testosterone is escalating quite high to the 400, 500 milligrams, per week sort of standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect that on 50 milligrams 3 times a week, you'd probably be fine. But in any case, yeah, obviously estrogen is going to go up, right? So you're going to have significant water weight, even if, I mean, and I know you know this, I'm just telling the audience, even if it doesn't appear like it's a significant amount of water weight, obviously you didn't gain close to 10 pounds of muscle in 3 weeks. I mean, that would be an absurd claim. So probably a lot of it is, and even if intramuscular water, right? So that could just appear like muscle, but it's still water weight. It's really almost impossible to determine, okay, how much skeletal muscle tissue is going to be added. So effectively, it like even if you're not the equivalent of 10 pounds of muscle stronger. And even if it's not actually 10 pounds of muscle, if we're talking about cosmetic purposes, it's kind of doing the same thing, right? I mean, you could make an analogy, obviously, to a much lesser degree to like creatine, right? If it's filling with intramuscular water and whatnot, that's still serving the purpose that you want.
Yeah, the one and again, in being fully transparent, the one thing I did notice is like if I wear high socks at the gym and then we like go in the sauna and I take my shoes off, like there's not like awful, but there's like I can tell there's like the indentation from the sock, whereas like before that would never happen. So like even there, like I can tell I'm holding a little bit of water around the ankles and stuff because I socks would never leave an indentation and now they are. So there are slight little things like that that I have noticed.
Brian, you and I have talked about that a little bit, Steve Hall and Abel and everything. Steve Hall actually says he gets the ankle lines when he diets. He holds more water when he diets. I noticed it just at the end of like a long day, if I'm like on my feet and like working and have long socks, but then I'll have a weekend and I don't notice at all. So mine's very random, but that's interesting. You're noticing it even earlier in the day. I assume you're working out not late at night.
Yeah, no, I would say this would probably be around like 2, 3 p.m.
Interesting. Do you have any concerns there from a health standpoint of, if you're just holding more water, increased vascular pressures and whatnot?
I mean, I do, but something that I'm really fortunate or glad that I'm now, I'll be 36 in like 3 weeks. I'm just smarter and wiser at 36 than I when I was at like even 30 or like 25 or something like that. And I have, because like the starting a family, living for more than just myself is like so much closer to me. I'm just willing to do more like due diligence on managing things. So like I'm gonna get like blood work at 6 weeks and be like, okay, is anything out of range based off like my all my, I'm also fortunate. I have 6 years of regular blood work. I know what things look like from 30, up through 35. So I'll manage, right? I start taking my blood pressure like every single day. I know what some of my problem areas are. It's high LDL, it's high HbA1c, high fasting glucose. Like those have always been that way. So from a management standpoint, like I have, small fears. But from a lot of what I've read is like so much is individualistic, right? I might like my lipids might get horribly skewed. I've seen numerous of my clients who've been on TRT for years, like their lipids and stuff never changed. So the you don't know if it's going to be good or if it's going to be bad. Obviously, we know what the population averages look like from, the published research. But I just don't know until I get some labs and spend a little bit more time on.
Dr. Thomas O'Connor talks about anybody who goes on testosterone, their HDL is going to crash. They're going to have worse lipids unless they're on this stuff. And that is just not what I've seen in my clients. Because I wouldn't say 20% of my clients are on TRT, but I've had plenty who are on TRT and I ask for blood work and whatnot. And if people are on reasonable doses of actual testosterone replacement, I do not see that happen at all. And sometimes you actually see benefits because estrogen goes up and then estrogen tends to have beneficial effects on lipids. So, that's not what I've seen. Unless they are subsequently crashing estrogen with an aromatase inhibitor, which yes, could cause problems. Any organ imaging done? Like echocardiogram, anything like that?
I got an echo done because I had all this planned. I'm waiting, and this is one of the downsides of Bali. I'm waiting on the coronary calcium scan machine to get fixed so I
Oh,
can go back
okay.
and finish my like heart panel that I
Okay.
booked. I also got blood work and stuff done then. And then I'll have a meeting with a cardiologist, but I did get an echo and I got to see some of the like the preliminary stuff and it was actually like very, very good. So
Cool. Maybe not like publicly, but would you mind showing me the echo at some point? I'd be very curious to see it.
yeah, when I tried to get it that day, but I mean, I literally went and did this like December 9th or something like that. And I'm still waiting on that machine to get fixed. So, I'm an open book, right? So I'm happy to share that.
Cool. They didn't have you do a CPET, did they? Which is like basically like a VO2 max test while hooked up with like an echo and whatnot afterwards.
There was one part of it that's supposed, it's a treadmill test. And that might be one of those things where it just kind of gets lost in translation. because all this stuff was in, like, I'm literally purchasing hospital packages like in Bahasa. I do
Okay.
not speak Bahasa. I'm like using Google Translate and stuff to just to buy this thing. So I do remember seeing something was a treadmill test on it, but I'm still waiting to go back and finish all the rest of that like heart package screening.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be very interesting to see too. Brian and I have discussed VO2 max quite a bit. So, there was something else I was going to mention about, oh, just with the cholesterol. Yeah, because I know when we had gone through both of your blood work on the channel, and your LDL was high, and did you have high LP little A as well? Okay. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I'm actually just like a little tangent here. So I am going the opposite direction of you here. So I am the heaviest I've been in a long time. I've been bulking up just to kind of test like some strength numbers and some measurements and whatnot. So this weekend marks the beginning of my cut, basically. And actually this morning I was 212, and sometimes I have this, I don't know, I'm sure you guys have experienced this before, where like you're eating the same amount, and it seems like you should be gaining. Like in my case, I was 207.8, 207.2, 207.8, 208. I'm eating like 4,000 a day. And then today, boom, 212. Right. So like sometimes it'll just be this sudden kind of jump. But my real weight is, 208, 209. So I will be going the opposite direction. But my LDL has been high. And I know that depending on the community you're listening to, there's some debate about the relevance of that. And, obviously it's different if you have high triglycerides and low HDL and all that stuff. But either way, I would prefer to not have higher LDL, all things considered. So I've never noticed a real big difference from diet, other than I've mentioned on the podcast before, I had this very random 6 month period that I can't explain. I was still eating like some junk here and there, that it got under 100, which for me is pretty rare. Usually I'm like 120, 130 LDL. So I figured I'm going to do a 2 month experiment, as I like to experiment. But it's hard for me because like I love cheese. I usually have like ground turkeys and ground beefs and things like that, and just eating out. So like, when I go visit Brian, I'm not going to just like not eat, whatever normal foods we're going to eat. But I will say I'm going to have a 2 month experiment of like 95% as minimal saturated fat as possible. And I'm very, because for people who don't know, dietary cholesterol doesn't generally correlate that well with blood levels of cholesterol, whereas saturated fat does. So like when I've done a ketogenic diet and a carnivore diet, LDL super high, like 200s for in keto, and on carnivore LDL was in the 300s. So that's just LDL. Total cholesterol was in the 400s on it. So it was wild. So I'm just going to basically try 2 months of like essentially no saturated fat, high fiber, and I'm just curious to see how low I can get it just from dietary manipulation. I don't expect I'm going to see a ton, but if I can get it sub 100, then I would probably avoid a statin. Whereas I think I would consider a low dose statin if it's still like 120 plus. I know Jeff Alberts was just on talking about he's on a low dose statin now. I think Lane Norton had talked about going on a statin. I mean, I'm seeing a number of people at least consider it.
Did you get ApoB with that too?
Not in my most recent one, but I've had ApoB tested a number of times. And I mean, it pretty much fluctuates directly with LDL. So I know Atiyah would certainly prefer ApoB. And I could get that done too. I've just generally done the standard lipid profile. I used to do like the whole NMR profile with, the particle size and whatnot. I don't do that as much anymore because I don't know if it really adds a ton of useful, actionable information for me. But yeah, we'll see. I know you're kind of blessed, Brian, with your naturally low LDL.
Yeah, I eat a ton of saturated fat too. So
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just one of those things. I mean, from everything I've been reading though, and there is like a sect of our industry that seems to be on this bandwagon of almost that LDL is protective in some ways. I've heard some of that, get that LDL being high is protective of a number of different things. So, and there was also another study. I think I even heard this in an Atiyah podcast where they were saying that super low LDL is actually a risk for certain types of cancer, I think. So anyway, it's just an interesting and semi-concerning just that my LDL has been, extremely low, for pretty much my whole life.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, you got the people who I really don't put any faith in at all, which is, like the strong carnivore, like, no, everything on lipidology is completely incorrect. And the higher the LDL, the better, because if this one study that showed people with higher LDL lived longer and whatnot. So I don't really put too much stock into that. But I agree, you kind of have this Like I spoke with a cardiologist recently who was like, man, like you don't want to be on any of these medications to go on a statin at your level. And he was familiar with Atia. He hadn't read the book, but he certainly knew him and his colleagues knew him and whatnot. And you get this kind of group that's like, look, if you're generally healthy, your HDL is good. I mean, again, we can go into a whole thing about the relevance of HDL, but you don't have that general metabolic disease of the high LDL with the low LDL and the high triglycerides and the high CRP, you know, the inflammation and whatnot. If you don't have that and you have everything else good, which I do, CRP is great, HDL is great, triglycerides great, all that stuff's great. The isolated LDL isn't this huge thing to worry about if it's in a reasonable range. And then you have the other people like Atiyah, Thomas O'Connor, these people who say, no, like you basically can't have heart disease if you tank your LDL. And I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've done the research myself for 30 hours and this deep dive into every paper on it, you know, but I think it's interesting that they have pretty starkly different opinions there.
Yeah, it's also another blood marker I've noted on mine recently, as I've been paying more attention to this specifically, is that my uric acid is bordering on the really high side of the normal range. And it's not usually you would see that in coordination with high fasting glucose or high HbA1c or whatever, as it is kind of like a marker of fructose or you know, sugar in the diet. So I looked back at all my blood work over the last few years, and I've just always had high uric acid, but not high of these other kind of sugar-related markers. So I don't know what to make of that either. I guess it's like in many ways genetic. I listened to a whole podcast on it the other day because I was curious, but I can't seem to lower that down no matter what I do.
So, related to the blood work and stuff, and one of the things I was thinking before we recorded was the difference between people taking TRT for aesthetic reasons and bodybuilding versus just well-being. And most of my clients, you know, these are not IFBB pros that I'm training. These are people just like normal people who just want to feel good and look good and whatnot. And I was thinking, like, if somebody said, there's this formulation of TRT you can go on and it's going to add 5 pounds of muscle, but everything else is the same. And there's this other TRT formulation where your muscle mass is going to be identical, but your joints are going to feel better, well-being, all that stuff. I would personally, where I am at life now, by far take that second one. So I don't know if Aaron, if it's just overall for you, like just you want to just see what happens. Is it, hey, I like you mentioned already feeling better in some regards. Was it mostly a muscle mass thing? Then any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it was I kind of like I alluded to in the beginning, like it was just time for me to formulate my own opinion, you know? And I would say I'm fortunate that like so much of my life is so I was gonna use the term rudimentary, but that's not what I'm looking for. Routine, like everything, like for the entire year, like past year, like my life is on autopilot, like day in and day out. I was like, I just want to add it in and see what happens. Like, do I enjoy training more? If I'm being honest, yes, I have enjoyed training more, which is kind of wild because it's already like one of the biggest parts of my life. Am I happier? Yeah, I would say I'm a little bit happier. Am I feeling more motivated and driven with like work? Yes. Their sleep is my sleep has been a lot better historically, but I kind of figured that out once we moved into a new villa. I would say it's kind of like somewhere in the middle. And I know things kind of wane and, you know, come in and out in different periods. And there's other facets of like your life, you know, that will impact it. I think so much it's talked about from like a like this external variable, which it obviously is, but other facets of your life like impact that sort of thing. So like, let's say like towards the end of the year, as the gym is opening, I would imagine there's going to be like a lot higher stress and shit on my plate. If I didn't exogenously bring in testosterone, like my life may get a little bit more objectively worse because cortisol is like climbing and those sorts of things, where now I have this thing that I can or have brought in, which will kind of just hold cortisol down a little bit more and I'll be like more resilient. So it's, I would say it is a little bit of the middle. The gym stuff is what I noticed like immediately because that was the easiest to quantify because it's like, okay, last week I did, you know, the 46-pound dumbbells for six. And I'd been stuck at six reps for literally like 5 months because I've been dieting, right? This week I did the 46s for 11. And I was like, holy shit, like that's absurd. And like those things are very easy to quantify. I know what changed that. But it's hard to be like, am I four reps happier today? You know, like those sorts of things
Right.
aren't as straightforward to quantify.
That ties into why I've said before, like one of my concerns with finasteride, right? Like if you look at the concerns with that, it's like, oh, well, if somebody has like ED or whatnot, like that's a pretty clear thing to determine versus, oh, well, it's got a slightly depressive effect. And it's like, how can you really know for sure plus a placebo? Let's say you have a pretty solid hairline there, Aaron. So maybe not a concern for you there.
Yeah, and I mean, there's, yeah, there's, yeah, I have a pretty solid hairline. I'm fortunate in that regard. We'll see what happens. I don't plan to push any of the like DHT derivatives too high and those sorts of things. Like if, and I'm not gonna, and I'm not gonna, I'm not sure if we'll get into this or not, but like if I do go down the competing route, it will be with like a set of constraints or like, these are things I'm just not interested in potentially, you know, jeopardizing because I don't care enough to do that. Like there's people out there, and I'm not saying this is wrong or anything like that, just my opinion. They're like, I want to be a pro bodybuilder so bad. It's so important to me. Like, I don't care if I lose my hair, right? And like for those people, I'm like, hey, more power to you. I'm glad you feel that way. I'm not that person, right? I don't want a pro card bad enough that I'm gonna lose my hair. Like, hard fucking no. Absolutely not. So, and I think just knowing what your goals are and knowing what's most important to you know, it is very, very, you know, wise. And I would very strongly encourage you to get clear on some of those things before embarking upon some of these things that can impact them.
It's interesting how strongly people, well, I guess just that the discordant views on people with the hair loss, because some people literally just do not seem to care at all. They're just, I'm just going to shave it off, like it's just not an important thing. And other people, I'm almost surprised to hear you're like, I really want to do all this stuff. I'm super into lifting, but definitely not at the cost of my hair, right? So, and
I don't have a
I've,
strong enough beard to go bald.
yeah,
Like
solid beer there, man.
it's decent with shadows, right? It's not like I'd give it like a B, maybe a B minus. But like if I had that A plus beard where it like grew in here and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I'll shave my head and just have a great beard. Like that's a solid look. I don't have enough beard to not have any hair.
I also wonder how much this cope with some people. Like I know, like Rogan, for example, he's like, ah, oh, just it's so much easier to shave it off. But it's like, yeah, but he also has talked about how he's had three hair transplants. So it's like you clearly didn't think that way. It was just once you had to accept it, now that's the way to go, right? I think that's probably the case in a lot of bald instances.
Yeah.
So just with placebo, not that obviously like 10 pounds is not placebo, right? Gaining five reps there is not placebo, but you know, in an like alternate universe, it would be curious, or I would be curious to know if you had something that you thought was testosterone and wasn't, how much you'd be like, man, I'm just adapting to things so much better. I'm excited for this. I'm handling this stress so much more. It's so hard, as you said, to quantify that. And again, I don't think you are just placeboing all of these things, but it has to be some degree of that where like when some new stress comes on, maybe you can feel like, well, this is TRT Aaron, and he's going to handle this because he TRT Aaron doesn't get stressed, you know?
I mean, the mindset is massive in what you can, you know, accomplish and stuff with it. But also I don't know if you know or not, Dave, like they did a study on that where they basically had their like placebo group and, but basically both groups were a placebo group. They told one group they were giving them steroids and the strength numbers and stuff were like, you know,
Insane.
insane. And then like, before the final week, they told him like, "Oh, just kidding. We told you you were on steroids, but it was just a placebo."
And
And
then it
everyone's
dropped.
numbers cratered, like cratered.
Which
So,
I've talked about that study a number of times. I find it hard to believe only in the extent to which the changes happened, because I think these were actually advanced athletes. Like these were people who were pretty damn strong. And I know I seem to be less susceptible to placebo effects, maybe because I'm always trying to like criticize things and make like see what is legitimate. But I've told a story before about how I had more or less tricked my brother into thinking he was taking something. Have you heard that story, Aaron?
I don't think so.
So basically I gave him beta alanine so that he could feel like something was happening. And I don't know why he did it, but I was like, yeah, man, like this is like a steroid powder. It's gonna make you know, it's really gonna improve your performance, et cetera. And I'm just curious. And he was only like 2 years into lifting. But he was taking it pretty seriously. And basically, you know, he was benching 185 for eight. And at the end, after this, he gets pumped up, he gets really into it. still benches 185 for eight. And that's obviously just a single experiment, but he believed me, and he believed because he could feel it, right? There was this thing he could feel, and there was nothing. Obviously, that's just a single experiment, but that particular study you're talking about, the numbers were so extreme that I would just love to see it replicated.
That one I remember. That one was one I remember like reading and being, because like a lot of times like studies, like it'll have this like flashy title or whatever, and then you'll read and it'll be like, 11% or something, like, which is, statistically significant, but it's not like earth shattering, And that was one I remember reading being like, holy shit, like those are significant, like significant in like a human perceptive, not just like statistically significant, So yeah, I agree.
But I mean, of course, I'm definitely not debating that mindset and all that stuff is huge, right? I mean, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting, I think, to follow along and see what happens. I think, as far as what you said in the beginning, that you don't have any ties to the noble natty crowd and the morality of it, and I feel the same way. And some people even like put in the comments, like, Noble Natty, like on my podcast, and I specifically said so many times, like, it's just for me, it's the health concerns that would stop me from doing any of these things. Obviously, I wouldn't compete in like a natural federation if I was using things, so there's a morality in that sense. But otherwise, it's just like, I talked about this with Alberto and Steve Hall recently, and we all kind of agreed, like, if you need it, I think there's no reason not to take it. And if you genuinely had an option to improve some area of your life without side effects, like if that existed, why wouldn't you do it? If you're not hurting anybody, and we'll see if you end up having any side effects, but I'm sure that you will try to mitigate them as well as possible.
Yeah, like you said, I will mitigate them. And the thing that I'm in right now is like, I've kind of made the agreement with myself that now that I'm doing this, like I have to make headway on some of the lab markers, pretty much the LDL that I've known about. Like, I was actually going to bring this up. The first time that I was told my LDL was high, I was 17. Right, because I went in for my like senior year of football. What do they call them? Like before a physical or whatever they call them, like before you go in for the sport year or whatever. Like you have high cholesterol. I remember being like, I'm 17 years old. I'm like playing multi sports. Like how do I have high cholesterol? Like now that I know, it's like a genetic thing. Like it's always just been high. So now it's like, okay, I've done a good amount of research on it. I know what OTC supplements have statistical significant, research to support lowering them. Will they work for me? I'm not sure, but like I'm gonna get my 6 weeks on lab work. Has my LDL gotten worse? Like, has it gotten better? Like, what has changed? I'll put one in, wait a couple weeks, get it tested, and then like go down. I have my decision tree of like this is my process of what I'm going to go down, but like one way or another, I will bring it down.
And remind me, what did your LDL get up to?
The worst I ever remember seeing it was like the low 150s, and that was only once. And that was like a very random, like I wasn't overly heavy or, my diet always more or less looks the same. The past year, it's been the strictest it's ever been. But typically, like I've around like the one teens. I think the most recent one I had was like a 132. The one before that was like a 112, but like 112 to like, 152 is like the range that I've seen it in. And that's over probably like nine blood tests.
That's pretty much identical to where I'm at as well. So, and I do, I mean, do you do any cardio, or are you planning to add any?
I've been doing cardio 3 times per week, zone two, for since July.
And no difference with cholesterol levels that you can tell with that.
Nope. The only thing I did notice is like the lab work at the end of the diet, the triglycerides came back very low, like 29 or something like that. And
Brian,
that
are
was.
you're doing, I know you had your kind of cycling kick, right? Where you were basically eating the same amount of food, if not more, and you got really light. And then now you are doing, remind me, I know you're kind of being trained for like a different, is it rowing?
Well, I was so I did hire a coach to do rowing programming for me to work on VO2 max, and we did that through end of October, November, December, And then in early January, January 1st, I decided to take call it a dopamine fast from THC. And I just kind of lost all motivation to do any sort of
Oh,
VO2
really?
max work.
Okay.
And so for a month, I was basically communicating with my coach, being like, look, I can go out for walks. I can do like some zone two stuff, but I just really don't have this desire to push. And then I reached the end of January and I felt better overall, you know, after 30 days off. Like I would say overall, I was feeling completely normal, as if there were no, you know, negative effects from withdrawal or whatever at that point. But I also started just having this urge again to get myself back in shape for the longer endurance work. I had a bike race that I did on February 4th, which was a Sunday,
Okay.
just a few like last week,
Yeah.
and I felt. I underperformed in a sense. I mean, it was treacherous conditions. There was 8 inches of snow the night before.
Jeez.
But either way, like it was a 32-mile race, 50K, and I did not have the legs or the endurance in the last 20% of the race. I just really kind of bonked out, which I wouldn't have expected. And I just kind of felt this desire to get more back into the longer endurance stuff. I really enjoy that, I think, because it's so far away from my comfort zone. Like I'm built much more as a guy that will do better in the 30-second to 2-minute time domain,
Yeah.
not in the 2-hour time domain. And so I talked to my coach and I told him that I think I was going to go back into kind of working towards the longer endurance work at this point as spring begins to emerge here in Colorado. And so I'm currently on a bro split, which has been awesome. I'm training 6 days a week. Sessions are only like 45 minutes each, which has been really cool because my sessions usually drag on to like 75, 90 minutes when I'm working multiple muscle groups. So 45-minute sessions has been awesome. And the plan is to continue the bro split and just kind of have a few zone two and one interval session, as like Atiyah would recommend, throughout February and March. And then I think come April, once we can have consistently nice weather, I'm going to just make the drastic change to 2 times a week full body and go hard on the cardio again. I want to ramp up to about 4 zone 2 sessions and 2 interval sessions a week. So 6 days of cardio. And that'll be
Jeez.
right around the time that you come to
Okay.
visit. And
Nice.
Aaron and I just did an episode on our podcast, like literally last week, called 10 Exercises for the Rest of Your Life, where we just choose the 10 exercises that if we could only do these 10 forever, these are the 10 that we would do. And so I think what I'm going to do is design my 2 times a week full body program off of that template of those 10 exercises and do 5 of them on one day, 5 of them on the other day, and just fit that around kind of my 6 days a week of cardio.
What are the 10, if you remember offhand?
Oh man, we had a number that we agreed on, but we both agreed on leg extension. We
Really?
both,
Okay.
well, because you need to train the rec fem, and neither of us wanted to necessarily, because there's a lengthened squat movement, we didn't think we needed a lengthened rec fem movement. So
Okay.
instead of going sissy squat, we went leg extension. We both chose we were we pendulum and hack squat. One of us, I think he chose hack and I chose pendulum. They're close enough. I think we ultimately agreed that maybe hack would be better. Then we oscillated both over whether we would choose a leg curl or a RDL, a hip hinge, and we both ended up choosing a hip hinge specifically because we felt like otherwise there wouldn't be any stimulus to the low back and the erectors in the 10 exercises. And so that was for us the main factor there. Then we both had a cable or machine chest press in there. I kind of was oscillating between incline dumbbell bench just because I have such an emotional attachment to it over the years. But ultimately, I think a machine or a cable chest press is probably a better selection long term for the stability reasons. So that was four. And then we both had two back movements. We both had a vertical pull and a horizontal pull, and there were slight variations between the exact
Yeah.
exercise that we each chose.
When is your back day in the week?
You mean currently with my bro split?
Yeah.
It's the second day. It goes chest, back, quads, shoulders, arms, hamstrings.
Okay. Because if we're going to go to N1, we got to do back. So you
Oh, we're
gotta,
100% doing back. Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm actually also doing hypertrophy camp at N1 in the middle of March. So
Okay.
it's very likely that come the middle of March when hypertrophy camp comes, I might just nix the bro split at that point and just kind of train. Well, so I have hypertrophy camp in the middle of March. Then I'm going to Costa Rica for 10 days. And then I get back from Costa Rica and you come. So I
Okay.
think with basically hypertrophy camp in the middle of March is probably going to be the end of my bro split. And I'm just going to be kind of, hey, what can I do in Costa Rica for 10 days? There's a jungle gym there, you know, nothing really super structured. And then I come back and like 3 days later, you come.
Okay.
So I'm 100%, we're definitely training back at N1.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, I think we were saying Alberto Nunez might come, which would be sweet. Because at
Yeah.
first, because he just had a baby, so congrats,
Yep.
Alberto. But he said he might be, trying to get out of the house or anything by that point. So
Yeah,
it'd be
yeah.
cool if he could come too.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think Berto definitely will come, and I bet we can get Brian Miner to show up as well, which would be cool.
I've actually never talked to Brian Miner, but yeah, that'd be great.
He's awesome. Yeah, he coached me for 6 months back in 2020.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so what Aaron, what did we both had a cable lateral raise. I think we both went one arm on the cable lateral raise because you can get a
I
little
think
bit more range of motion.
we both went with dips, I think.
We dips was one because you get chest and triceps. So some people that
And
responded said they went with specific isolation tricep movement. We figured we'd rather get more bang for your buck, and we both chose dips to hit more chest, and to get the triceps and some front delts in there. And
yeah.
then
I th you went with a with like a an explosive kind of like a high pull
hang
power
power
snatch.
snatch high pull type thing,
Yeah,
and you
and
went
then
with
I
the
went with
ab
that
rollouts.
ab rollouts. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there had to have been another one or two movements we missed in there. Because oh yeah, we both had a bicep curl. I had a face away curl, and we both argued that maybe we would have chosen supinated pull-ups instead, potentially. So there, that one we oscillated on a little bit as well. But overall, I think we mostly agreed on 7 out of 10 of them. And then we had some slight variations on the other three. Y'all can listen to the podcast and you can see it
No
all for yourself.
pull-ups. Four pull-ups.
Yeah.
I actually have been doing that a little bit more recently, and I think I'm getting a little bit of like a elbow, left elbow tendinopathy. And that's again going back to the TRT thing. Atiyah had talked about how if he were to go on, it would be actually he actually wanted the higher estradiol and some of the benefits of that. And I could see it much more for just well-being. I mean, if I could gain 5 pounds of muscle, that would be great. But for me, just like things that we've talked before, but you guys have both said that being 35 and 40, like you feel the best you've ever felt and whatnot. And Abel and I were just talking about this on a recent podcast that I feel mostly the same, but I have definitely been aware of some little like niggles here and there. And actually, going back to placebo, I was just saying this to Sam last night, how I've been toying with the idea of a statin for maybe a year or so. And there's some risk of myopathies, and even one guy I know who is a physician has said that there's increased risk of like tendon ruptures and whatnot. And so in the last year, I'm like, okay, so I was doing the single leg calf experiment, and I think the extreme stretches led to some Achilles tendon issues. Like my left, I'm getting like a little bit of like my left foot, maybe like a little plantar fasciitis. And then I got this kind of weird tendinopathy thing and this pec thing that's been taking. So this last year, I've noticed quite a few of these things. And despite all of my training with like reading papers and being a doctor and all of these things, I would probably feel pretty confident that if I went on a statin a year ago, I'd be saying, man, look what the statin is doing to me, right? Like it's this, it's that, all these things. And I would be pretty confident. I wouldn't say I'm 100% sure. I'd be like, yeah, the timing really lines up. And that's just human nature, right? But yet I didn't take a statin. And so you can just think like how many people in the general population just think, well, I did this and this happened. It must have been that thing. And it's just little side commentary on how we think.
Yeah, you're actually just getting older.
Yeah, right.
I think Aaron and I both have some confounding variable in the sense that we say we're feeling our best now because like from mid-20s to mid-30s, I was deep in CrossFit and my body was ruined all the time. Like I
Right.
couldn't get out of the car. My knees hurt. I had shoulder pain. My elbows hurt. Like my entire body was in pain at so throughout the entire 10 years, there was something that hurt all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just this complete breath of fresh air to be training in a manner that is more joint friendly. And so it's tough to say. I mean, if I was training this way at 25, I'm sure I'd be like, yeah, 25 was the best. Like I felt so good, you know? It's really hard to say.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
that's
used
such
to.
a
Go ahead, Ryan.
I was gonna say that's such a good point. Like I at that phase during the CrossFit, like I would wear my knee sleeves to bed sometimes. Like that's how bad that they would ache. And I was like,
Wow.
I need to do this. I'd be sitting on the couch with my fucking knee sleeves on because that's how bad my knees hurt.
Wow.
Yeah, but I think it's also like we didn't know, you know, like I was eating a really high fat diet, not having carbs and stuff. Like I was literally doing a lot of things wrong. And then obviously there was like other parts of lifestyle that were not conducive to recovery, like, you know, drinking regularly and those sorts of things. But it's like, if I lived how I live at 35, at like 25, yeah, I probably would have felt like I was Superman, you know, at 25. But all things considered, like I feel a lot better at 35, you know, 36 than I would say a lot of my peers and stuff who I spent my early 20s and teens and stuff with. But again, that's a lot of like, there obviously, like, you know, nature is working against us, time is working against us, but there are things that you can do to accelerate it, and then there are things that you can do to, you know, kind of slow it down a little bit. And I think we are just fortunate that we've discovered some of the things that we can do to slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, have you cons not maybe considered it, but I imagine given your comments, you would be open to down the road experimenting with any sort of peptides or anything if you started to want to just feel better, or any tendinopathies on your end, anything like that you'd be open to?
Yeah, like BPC 157, like is probably the one that there's, I mean, there's a little bit of research in humans on it. Like actually, Vigorous Steve, like just last week posted like this really in-depth one on it. And I even learned a few things there. So that's one that I'll probably run just to see like, hey, I always have little things that bother me a little bit. I think that's just the nature of doing it so long. Like, do they get better? Like, do I notice anything there? But a lot of the peptide stuff, I'm not saying that it's bad or anything. It's just a little bit too new for me, you know, and I do kind of feel like maybe in 20 years, like I don't know if the peptide thing is really going to be like the thing. I could be wrong, eat my words, or it could be like, you know, some fad thing of the early 2000s that we don't even remember anymore. So.
Yeah, that's my concern too. It's just too unregulated. Like I'm totally open to the idea of any sort of medicine that can help these things, but it's just the Wild West. I mean, you got like random, research only like websites and whatnot, people just buying whatever online. It's like how do you even know that you're getting what you're paying for? And then even if it is that thing, there's just not that much research on it. I don't know if you guys ever watched House back in the day. And he was in chronic pain and he gets this medication. And he feels amazing. And then a new study came out that showed that actually the mice that were getting it had all these tumors. So then he like goes in and takes these tumors out that he had developed and whatnot. But obviously an extreme example. But there's just so much like you just don't know what you don't know, right? One last thing I'm interested to see, and it's tough with TRT because I think in one sense it's a huge, huge confounder because in theory you're kind of back to that noob stage of like everything works, right? Like you're going to make progress regardless. The other side to that is that when we look at, say, intermediates, that's often the best group to study for determining one thing versus another because at an advanced stage, almost nothing is going to work. So it's very hard to really see any like change in things. So in a way, you kind of have this window of opportunity if you keep the dosage constant, where you can kind of experiment with different variables again and be like, hey, I'm noticing that this is working better than this did, where at an advanced age or advanced stage of your training career, naturally, even if it was the best thing, you just might not be able to garner any information from that experiment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like I believe we talked about this before, Brian. It's almost like it's you have like a bell curve, right? Or half of a bell curve, right? In the beginning, you know, with training, like things are just rocketing, and no matter what you do, things are producing results again. And then as you get into like intermediate, it slows down. And then once you get into that like advanced, it kind of like becomes a almost like an asymptote,
Asymptote,
right? Yeah, an
asymptote, yeah.
asymptote. But it's almost like now with the TRT, it's like you put that another one of that same graph where like now with this new stimulus, like anything new is just like working again because mostly of this new external stimulus. But I would imagine the same kind of trajectory because I think, I mean, if hell, if you didn't need the more and more dosages, right, then you could in theory just remain at, you know, whatever, 150 milligrams per week, 200 milligrams per week, and just continue to make like those gains and gains and gains. But obviously that doesn't happen, or else the, you know, professional bodybuilders and stuff wouldn't be taking grams
Right,
of
right.
things. Yeah.
Cool, guys. So, I asked everything I had come to mind. Anything on your end, Brian, that you wanted to ask, either on the podcast or just generally?
No. Yeah, I mean, I'm still natty for the time being, so
Yeah.
I'll hold that card for Eat, Train, Prosper podcast, and
Yeah.
I'll just keep being average while Aaron goes into acceleration range, and we'll see how things go. Yeah, so yeah, it's certainly interesting, and I'm excited to kind of follow his journey along.
Yeah, no, I'm super interested to see kind of how it happens, especially because I think, like, I trust you enough to think, okay, what he's doing, what he says he's doing, he's actually doing, and we can actually see it. It's not just like some random influencer who, like, it was completely different than what was stated. So, just to kind of really get, and also, like, because, like me, you like the objective data. So, like, we can actually
Yeah.
look at the blood work and maybe get some measurements in there and, whatnot. So, we'll be able to kind of follow that along.
Yeah, something that I thought of, and I actually thought of you when I thought of this. I wish I took calf measurements at when I started this like year-long thing last year,
Okay.
because I trained my calves. Like what the two things that I really changed in 2023 is like I trained my calves regularly, like hard, and I actually trained abs. The abs, I think, actually maybe improved a little bit. The calves, the other day, I was like looking at the first like week and stuff, and I'm like, there's a lot of pain over that year for like not a lot of fuck all going on down there, you know? And it was actually funny. And then I was like, I really wish I had them because I bet they're gonna start growing now. The one thing I will say that there have been things that have definitely changes in. I don't know if there's actually any, you know, legitimacy to this, but just something that was kind of passed to me as information is with the exogenous testosterone, you're able to contract the muscles harder than you could naturally. And then that is why like the pumps and stuff like they're painful now. And it's like the thought to my, that came to mind was like, be careful what you wish for, you know, 'cause like now they're, it hurts. And the calves, we had like a rest pause set on calves. I mean, it was insanely painful. And it was the same rest pause set I'd been doing for 7 months. And it would
Yeah.
like, it wouldn't be fun. But like this most recent one, I was like, this is debilitating, like awful. And that's one thing I definitely have noticed is like the pumps are very, very painful. And it's not a good fun feeling
Oh,
anymore. It's
really?
like, this is kind of awful. And I wish it would go away. Yeah. Or
Huh.
at least like reduce by like 20%.
Yeah.
Percent.
Did
Yeah.
you? So I know you said you didn't take the calf measurements at the start of your like really intense year. Did you take any recently?
No. I was literally like
Bro,
last week.
bro, do you have a tape measure?
I do, yeah.
All right, calves, arms, waistline. You got to at least do those three. Okay.
The waistline I have, yeah. I'll
Okay.
do I and we've you and I have talked about. I know what the arms were like, so
Yes.
I'll make a
Yeah.
note to start recording the calves.
Thank you, sir.
In the arms, I can do, and
It's
the
so funny
waistline.
things that I have gotten known for. Like, people will DM me and it's like some random the calf thing, or just the other day, someone in the industry DM'd me and they were like, look at this advanced guy who he had changed to dumbbells for his RDLs instead of, like, presumably, barbell or whatever he was doing before. And he was saying how just in a couple of weeks he can see hamstring growth and just like kind of like the ridiculousness of somebody saying they can see hamstring growth after being an advanced bodybuilder in a couple of weeks switching to something like dumbbells. So just things that I'm like, I don't know if it's great that that's what I'm known for, but just funny what is associated with me at this point.
I think it's
Yeah.
awesome.
Cool, guys. So interested to see everybody's journeys. We're all kind of doing very different things. You're going to be on a big growth mode. Brian's getting into cardio mode again, and I'm gonna be getting skinny again, man. 212 is the heaviest I've been in a long time. I feel like I'm holding it better. Like I had a pretty fat face the last time I was this heavy. Now it's a softer face, but I don't think I look fat. And so we'll see as I go down what I can maintain. But part of me, like, I really like filling out the shirts and everything again. Like, and way more people comment, like patients and whatnot, that I look bigger. Obviously, it's not a reason to do it, but it's just nice to feel like a guy who lifts, you know. And as I get down to 195, it's kind of intermediate. And Brian, by the time I see you, I'll probably be about 195, probably just like my normal self at that point. But I think unless I really lose a lot, I'll kind of keep going into like 185. And that might just be like a new norm for me, just kind of focusing more on like health and feeling better. And I don't know, I might need some like calisthenics goals or something to keep me interested, but that's kind of where I'm at now.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'll probably be a similar body weight, maybe slightly below. But one thing this past year, after I got down really low from all the cardio I was doing, I was a low of 180, and I never have gotten above 193, 194. And usually in these like off seasons, if you'll call them that or whatever, I usually get up close to that 200 range. So it actually has been kind of nice to stay. I mean, it's 6 pounds less, or 7 pounds less isn't a huge number, but like you can feel it almost like in your daily life. So I think this has kind of become in the industry a bit of a new normal. Like you have Helm saying he's not going to get above 195, and he's around the same height as you, right? Maybe even an inch taller.
I think we're both 6'1".
Yeah. So he's saying he doesn't want to get above 195 anymore. So yeah, I think it's almost like a new trend in the industry now, maybe as a result of that study that Helms put out, but it seems
Yeah.
like most people are kind of veering on that side of staying a little bit leaner.
I'm surprised by the people who say they don't notice a difference. I think NH, Jeffrey Very Schofield, maybe one other person, they were saying they at like 220, they feel the same. I'm like, I'm not saying I feel horrible, but I feel significantly more athletic and just better cardiovascular capability when I'm in like the 190s, even compared to like at 212. I'm like going up some steps. I'm just like, yeah, I'm aware that I went up some steps. You know what I mean? It's not horrible, but definitely, it's a little different.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and resting heart rates and stuff get higher, the higher, the heavier you get. Like that's one big thing I noticed too is, above 200, resting heart rate is like 50. And at this point it's, low 40s, which I think makes a somewhat significant difference in the way I feel throughout the day.
Yeah. You guys,
Do
Aaron?
you all, my thought around that, and I could tell, like, when I've wrapped up my build last year at 217, and I did not like it. And I knew I was committed to the end goal, and I was like, I have to do this. But at that point, like, your clothes start fitting differently. You know what I mean? I had one of our like friends here, wife, like make a comment that my ass was eating my shorts, and like it was, like she wasn't making it up. It's not a good feeling, you know what I mean? And one thing that I thought was, and potentially this is around some of the other people are feeling this way. A lot of this, the reason that many of us got into like lifting and stuff like that is like to have a physique that, looks like you lift and you're happy with. Like when you're, pushing your higher weights, like you don't really look so hot, compared to like Gen Pop. Yeah, you're 18% body fat or 17% body fat or whatever, but like you don't feel great, when you sit down. Like I remember like towards the end of my bulk, like when I would sit down, like I had a good bit that I could grab there,
Really?
You don't really want it. So that's
Yeah.
another reason where it's like maybe for staying leaner is like you just don't feel great, at your heavier weigh-ins.
Yeah, I think I have a problem like similar to Eric Helms. So we've talked about like we have both have thicker abs. So I can still get, I mean, again, with the right lighting, right? I can still get like a flexed four pack and whatnot. So it would be very easy for me to be like, oh, like this angle, this look, I still got abs, but like I don't get like this big belly. But it's just like overall, like arms have zero definition at this point. And like just like the pants, I don't want to get a whole new set of clothes because I know this is temporary. But I have like one pair of pants that I can wear at this point. So looking forward to a more diverse wardrobe. All right, guys. So that was cool. I'm glad we did this. We got you while you're fresh, Aaron. A lot of new changes going on. Obviously, we'll keep following along. You've mentioned the podcast a couple times, but where can we find you guys?
I'm at Brian Borstein on Instagram, and then check our podcast out, Eat, Train, Prosper.
And for me, most easily is Instagram as well, and that is Aaron underscore Straker.